This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you in worldwide high-definition audio, or something quite like it, to all four corners of the globe, to fans everywhere huddled over your listening device, wherever you may be, expanding your mind with knowledge and insight on all things music, all things sports, politics, delving into all sorts of categories on the colorful spectrum of life. Phil Pritchett here. How's everybody doing out there? Y'all listening to that live record? Phil Pritchett and the full band, Corpus Christi Live. You can get it on CD Baby very soon. iTunes, Amazon, keep an eye out. It's out there floating around in digital form. 18 songs, almost 2 hours of pure unadulterated rock and roll excitement. So go out there and grab it. Email me, Phil at Phil Pritchett. Let me know what you think of it. Always love your feedback, fans. Well, here today, he joins us once more, third week in a row, Blake Walker, our old beloved road manager. Show his ass, Aggie, coming by. Good to see you, Walker. How's it going?
Wonderful.
We were talking some Mav basketball last week. All kinds of fun stuff, man. Also, a wide range of topics when Blake drops by here. And a little bit later on in the show, we're going to have J.W. Marshall dropping by. Man, he told me the other day he sold all his Apple stock. He says they're done. I don't know. So we'll see what he has to say about that. Bring him in and have him account for these sorts of things. Well, well, well. When Blake Walker came to work for me years ago, he was just kind of a drunk kid, college kid in the front row. I took no regard of him. You know, I was just like, oh gosh, here we go again. Drinking there at Fitzwillie's, falling off his chair. You know, I'm like, oh gosh. So anyway, as things go in the rock and roll world, you're always looking for somebody to carry your amp, carry your guitar. I'm like, this guy looks like a sucker. We'll see. So sure enough, he comes on the road with us. And, man, he was there for so many momentous occasions, as we've recounted on the podcast. He was there when the van got stolen and all sorts of other just, you know, hilarity and hijinks that ensued over the years. And your short time with us, which was really on and off for a year or two, hilarity ensued on so many of occasions that you, I know, are privileged to feel a part of. But you recounted one story to us from your personal life. That was, man, one of the most compelling survival/disaster tragedy stories that I've ever heard, not only in the van, but just in life in general, that I wanted to share with the fans, because you don't hear stories like this every day. And it is the story of your father, Dr. Walker, veterinarian, proud alumnus of Texas A&M.
You bet.
Years ago, was involved, survived, man, the last big, I think it was the last one, the last big plane crash at Dallas-Fort Worth Airport, DFW here.
That's correct.
They were taken off and turned over, crashed into the ground. Your dad was one of the survivors.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people died in that crash.
Uh-huh.
And it was just one hell of a tale. What year was this? How old were you when this happened?
This is like 89-ish. Uh-huh. It's right in there.
So you were what?
I was born in 81.
81, okay.
So I was very young. And I remember it was a Saturday morning. Me and my brothers are all sitting around in our underwear watching.
Y'all live here in Rockwall?
We live here in Richardson.
Richardson, okay.
And we're sitting there eating cereal and watching TV. And I was too young to really know anything that's going on, but my oldest brother, that's my dad calling me right there. I was gonna try to put him on speakerphone. It's too confusing for
too confusing.
But we're sitting there watching TV, and
now you knew your dad was going out of town. Where was he going?
Yeah, my dad graduated from Texas A&M in the class of 70. He was a vet student, and he went to vet school with a real famous guy, Joe Mack King, played quarterback for Gene Stallings in the 70s for A&M.
And, Joe Mack King.
Joe Mack and
right.
My dad have been friends for a long time. And mm-hmm. Joe Mack, my dad, and Dr. Prater are all veterinary students at A&M,
uh-huh.
and they all have practices here in Dallas. So
right.
They all went to school together, all good friends. And every year they take a fly fishing trip up to either Wyoming or Montana.
Somewhere. Okay.
This particular flight, they were going to Montana, and they were going to go through Salt Lake City. So it was Dallas to Salt Lake City, and then Salt Lake City.
Saturday morning, 1989.
Bozeman. Yes.
Delta, was it?
Delta 1141.
Delta 1141.
Big crash. I don't know if you can find. He did like an interview with the Hardline on the ticket.
Yeah, he's been on radio talking about it.
He's been on the radio talking about it. He's been on some TV shows.
So what happened? I mean, so how does the story go? I mean, he
basically Dr. Prater, my dad, and Dr. King are all sitting on the plane together, in a row together. My dad's in the middle. They're about to take off from DFW. The plane is on the runway, taking off. You know, it's at its, you know, max speed. It takes off.
Are they in the front or the rear of the plane?
They're in, like, the middle
okay.
by the wing.
Okay, right.
They can actually see the wing from their window.
Okay.
I don't remember which wing it was, which side. Actually, it would have been the left wing, and they would have been sitting on the left side.
So they take off.
They're taking off. They get the wheels off the ground. They're in the air about 30 feet when one of the flaps on the right wing of the plane, there's these little flaps at the back of the wing,
uh-huh.
Sticks, and it's still up. And there's an alarm that kind of triggers, and the pilot has to hit something. It's actually a minor detail.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's been done in simulators and looked at, you know, years since then. And it's,
right, like
it's
what
actually,
happened? Right.
Yeah, and it's an easy fix. But what happened was the pilot made a big mistake when he went to correct when the flaps up on the right wing, it catches the wind. Well, it drives that right wing towards the ground.
Right.
So when it's driving that wing towards the ground, he overcorrects and pulls to the left. So when he pulls to the left, he dips the wing too far, and the equilibrium of the plane goes off.
Right.
And it just kind of wobbles. Well, when it wobbles back, it breaks that left wing off on the ground.
Okay, it
and
tipped
so
down far
that,
enough
that,
to hit.
Yeah, the left wing comes back down.
And jeez.
My dad said he saw the wing break.
Right, he just and it was that was his wing that
yeah,
hit the ground.
He could see
just
him and his buddies. You know, they're all about to go on this great fishing trip they
oh
do every
God.
Year, and they see the
oh my God.
They see the wing
yeah.
come back down and break. And so, like, that's pretty much it.
So, was he conscious through the whole thing? Does
oh, yeah.
he hit? I mean, did they slide?
Were he
they,
basically
was it onto a field or the
it,
highway? Where did it go?
The other big flight at DFW was on the highway. A lot of people get that one confused.
Right.
This one crashed in the field at the end of the runway.
Within the DFW confines.
Yes, within the DFW confines. And so my dad sees the wing break, and he said he kind of looked at his buddies, and they all kind of gave a knowing nod, like, hey, you know, it's been a good one. You know, they all thought it was over, you know.
Because how long were they still in the – moving when that after that wing broke?
Well, we're talking all this is in seconds, you know. Yeah, but my dad can recount everything in slow motion. And he said you just kind of gripped your hand, the armrest. You grip the armrest and you ride it in, you know, and you think, well, when it hits, I'll either die from impact or it'll explode because you watch movies.
Right,
everything blows up in movies.
Oh yeah, right.
And so he just said, I figured we die at impact. So then the wing breaks, which sends them back over to the right side. Then that wing breaks, and then the front of the plane kind of nosedives and crushes the nose, and then it starts, you know, doing the whole kind of cartwheel and rolls over. And it ends up kind of crushing the front, breaking the wings, crushing the back. And so
they're just being flipped around. Yeah. Did they stay in their seat?
Oh, yeah.
Their seatbelt?
Seatbelt on. You're all in your seat.
And just
kind of nosedives and slides. And so what happens is it turns sideways, and the big middle piece that's still in one section, the emergency exit, one is facing the dirt and one is facing straight up in the air.
Oh, I see. So they're on there. They're sideways.
They're sideways. Yeah. So
you got to climb up to get out. Straight up, like
that's
climbing
correct.
The ladder.
And I'm sure I'm butchering.
So good
all
Lord,
this,
no, but, I just it's okay.
And so my dad says you can just hear, like, pretty much two or three rows behind my dad and back is on fire. So you can hear people fire. You can hear people screaming.
Oh,
and he said, no joke, the smoke is so thick and black that you can't see a thing. I mean, it is literally just – it's suffocating.
And he's buckled in his seat?
Yeah. Well, you pull the buckle off. Everybody kind of slides down, and you're crawling like – over people and over chairs to get to, like, the only thing you see ahead of you. There's a little bit of light coming in on cracked pieces of the plane, and you can kind of see. He said the first door they tried to open, when they opened it, there was nothing but flames and fire, and it was kind of the one facing the ground. And there was, like, he said you could smell jet fuel, and you just thought, well, we're going to burn up because you can smell fuel everywhere and there's smoke. And so they're making their way towards this one kind of light they can see breaking in. The first exit they hit at kind of opening, and it's all fire. So they keep moving to the end, and he said there's, you know, everyone's stepping on each other and screaming and going nuts. And he kind of went into old school, just like survival mode. You know, his buddies all make fun of him. But he made it to the end, hopped out and booked it. I mean, he was gone.
Right.
And so he said,
he's got three kids at home. He's got to get out.
He said by the
That's
time.
The first thing you think is, man, I got to get the hell out of here.
My dad said he busted a Dion, you know, 4340, and was just gone. And
getting away from the burning wreckage. I mean,
he thought it's going to blow.
Sure.
And so he said you crawled out. You crawled up to the top. You had to hop up, do a pull-up, and then slide down the plane, and then you hit the grass, and you took off.
Yeah.
And so he said he's just bolting, you know, in mid-stride when he kind of realizes, dude, my two best friends are in the plane.
Yeah, right.
You know, so he turns and goes back.
And he could kinda see just the burning wreckage.
Yeah, the back's on fire and the front's crushed and there's wings and debris everywhere. And people are sliding down. And so, you know, he's a veterinarian, so he thinks he's a doctor and he always tries to, you know, be a doctor. So he's setting legs and trying to sew people up and he's trying to help as much as he can and drag people.
So this time he's kind of next to the plane as people are sliding off and kind of pulling people away.
And he said because a lot of elderly people, they'd break their leg when they slid down.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of have to drag them off because you thought it was going to, you know, the whole thing was going to catch on fire. And so it's a funny story because my dad's two friends, Dr. King and Dr. Prater, they actually saved a baby. Like, there was a lady sitting at the exit, you know, where we had to climb up and get out because all the men had to kind of help the women up. You know, if there's someone there, you kind of help, help the ladies
just
up.
Just pushing people up
down.
Through the hole, right.
And so Joe Matt King's a big dude. He's a big old redheaded dude from Mineola, Texas.
Yeah.
He's a big,
the old quarterback.
Big guy. And so, you know, they're helping people up, and this lady kind of said, you know, I lost my child during the wreckage. So King and Prater go back and find this lady's child still alive and bring the child to her and get them out. And as Joe Matt King is getting out of the plane
himself, course, this is kind of after everybody sort
this
of cleared.
Is every, he's, yeah. There's a big cuts and jagged edges and
metal,
pull yourself up.
Uh-huh.
Well, he gets his Aggie ring caught on this jagged piece of metal as he's sliding down, and it just shreds. It rips like all the tendon and skin and muscle off his finger.
Cuts his finger off.
And just takes his ring and his finger, and he's basically got, you know, a piece of a finger left, you know, that's been stripped.
And slides down.
And he slides down
to the ground.
And the legend is that he climbs back in the plane for his Aggie ring and his finger. And that's a true story. I don't know any other way to tell it, but if you ever met Dr. King,
my gosh.
It would make sense.
That's the kind of guy who just gets down, just damn. He just lost his finger, his ring, and he just climbs back into the buried wreckage.
Yeah, he's just a tough guy, you know.
And right. So, and he found it?
Found his ring, found his finger, got back out, and my dad and Troy sewed it up. They're over there messing with it, you know, a bunch of veterinarians sewing on a finger, which
I can't imagine the surrealness and the adrenaline. Or, I mean, you know what I mean? It'd just be like it would just be unbelievable.
Yeah, I think
what were the if you don't mind, how many people died were on the plane, and you know what the numbers were? I couldn't remember.
I know that. It wasn't like 50 to 100. It was like 15 to 20. It wasn't a massive flight, but it was like 15 to 20 that died in the back that were burned up. And
right.
Then one of the pilots died at the front when the nose
impact,
crushed.
Okay.
The other one lived.
Golly.
It wasn't a huge as flights go. It wasn't a huge casualty rate, but it was the last big crash at DFW.
Right.
About 15 to 20 people died there at the back, and I want to say 14. I looked all this up like a couple years ago when the Hardline got my dad on. I looked up some stuff for
the Hardline show here in Dallas.
Yeah,
had him on there. I heard that interview. Where were you? So y'all are eating breakfast. You're eating cereals with mom. So when did that horror start to set in that, man, this was dad's plane. It's now burning on TV.
I'll never forget that day because I was in my underwear, you know, eating cereal, watching cartoons with my two brothers. My middle brother's 3 years older than me. My oldest brother's 6 years older than me. So my oldest brother Brent was old enough to know there was like a late breaking news deal that said flight crash at a
plane
DFW.
Crash at DFW. Okay.
And so this is obviously in the age of no cell phones, no computers, nothing. So. My brother runs into the kitchen where my mom's, like, of course, reading her Bible, doing her daily, you know, prayer time Saturday morning because she's about to deal with us three knuckleheads for a total, you know, a whole week.
Right.
And so anyways, my brother runs in and tells my mom, you know, dad's plane crashed and it said the Delta flight and it was dad and he was in a plane crash. And my mom's like, no, it's okay.
Could have been any plane, a lot of planes.
Wasn't his.
Right.
And so we all kind of sit in front of the TV. My mom real nervous, like kind of hoping and praying, but not saying anything. Didn't want to show any fear. And so finally we switched to another channel and it's like, you know, breaking news and it's my dad's flight. It's 11:41.
Bound for Salt Lake City.
And it's crashed and they have literally no details. It's like there's a crash. They don't know what's going on.
Right.
So everyone's kind of freaking out. We're too young. We like go back to cartoons. You know, we don't really know what's going on. And then my mom's kind of course waiting for a phone call. But instead what she's getting is every phone call from everyone in America that saw that there was a plane crash that knows my dad and knows my dad's going on that trip.
Or calling the house.
Yeah, calling our house. So we're just getting blown up with phone calls. Well, then like it sort of became surreal when I'm sitting in my underwear watching cartoons and our preacher comes by with like food. And it's like one of those deals where like he's come by because he now thinks that my dad's dead.
Right.
And he's going to stay with my mom and console her when the news comes in. And so we're just like, okay, this is
where's this
real.
Headed?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And so people are calling and my mom's bawling and crying and we're all just kind of
– so you know it's his plane now.
Yeah.
You know it's his plane.
And so we're just kind of freaked out. And I'm still young. I remember going into my brother's room and looking at a picture of my dad like on a desk and thinking that might have been the last time I'll ever see my dad. It was just a weird feeling. I remember that how I felt and just looking at that going, man, this is weird. He can't be dead. Like I just thought my dad does – like your heroes don't die.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Like, my dad's not dead. You know, I'm just like thinking – this will blow over. I don't know. I'm just too young to figure it out. I can tell my oldest brother and my mom are just really nervous and crying and trying to figure out what really is going on because they are talking about some people surviving. Well, in true Walker fashion, my uncle, my dad's brother, Charlie Walker, leaves his office, his Walker Engineering office, in his, you know, slick BMW, and you cannot get into DFW at this time. It is completely locked down.
Okay.
He pulls onto the grass at DFW and starts driving in a BMW towards
the wreckage.
Towards the wreckage. And he, I mean, we're talking about some guys from Roy City, Texas. I mean, they ain't messing around. You know, he's going to find his brother.
Right.
Dead or alive, he's coming out with him. So my uncle.
He's going to get some answers.
He just starts driving on DFW property at the wreckage, you know, trying to get as close as he can. And eventually gets shown, you know, there's nothing but ambulances and fire
people
trucks
waving
all around.
Hey,
so he finally has to kind of. He searches everywhere for my dad. He can't find my dad. He's just freaking out. Ends up, my dad goes to find a payphone. He eventually calls my mom, tells her, hey, I'm okay, I'm alive. From the payphone, he has to walk, you know, miles to find a payphone that's not being used. Because at this time, nobody has cell phones.
Right,
everybody's
right.
on payphones. So my dad finds a payphone. He ends up having to go to the hospital. He broke some ribs in the accident and had some smoke inhalation.
Uh-huh.
It's really dangerous to breathe, obviously, burning fuel.
Sure.
Has some tough toxins in the smoke. So he had a little smoke inhalation. He had some broken ribs. He's at the hospital. My uncle finally gets word that he's at the hospital. My uncle goes and picks him up. And we actually have a Dallas Morning News with my dad and my uncle on the cover walking out of the hospital the next day or that day. And it's a picture of them walking out of the hospital and then a picture of the wreckage. And it was just it was actually the – what was the Fort Worth paper? Star Telegram? Not Fort Worth. There was the – what was
Dallas Times Herald.
The Times Herald is what we have.
Was the afternoon paper. Yeah.
And my dad and my uncle are on it walking out of the hospital.
I'll be darned.
I still have that one.
Do you remember when you found out he was okay? Do you remember being in the house and all of a sudden your mom getting a phone call? It's him. Oh, my gosh. I mean, is it – you know?
Oh, yeah. I remember my mom telling us he's okay,
right.
And he called, and dad's fine, and I just remember thinking, okay, you know,
yeah.
And I was so little.
I knew it.
All right, yeah, he's fine. I knew he was going to be okay. Like, you knew he was going to be okay, right?
That's a heavy moment, though.
It was just a
grief.
Weird situation, and my dad has all these, like, he's just a very interesting guy. Like, I would love to get him in here to talk to you for a podcast because he's been in, like, head-on car accidents where he shouldn't have lived. And he's, like, walked in on bears when he's fishing that just, like, want the fish that's on the end of his line. And he, like, sung to the bear and walked away from it. And he just has these crazy stories where it's, like, he's just destined. Like, he always tells me, he's, like, nothing will ever kill me. You know, he's the guy that just, like, nothing's stopping him. You know, he just can't. He's got this.
Dr. Walker.
He's got this legend
about
him.
Nine lives. He does.
Like, when I'm on a plane with him now, he's like...
Is he still a little nervous as a flyer?
No, he loves it.
Does he do pretty good?
He'll turn to me and go, there's no way in, you know, HE double hockey sticks that this one's going down. I've already rode one of these.
I rode the biggest one at DFW.
Yeah.
The last big one.
And so he's afraid of nothing.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Crazy, old redneck, you know, he's been through it all. But yeah, he's... Survive that, and then my parents don't really believe in suing.
Uh-huh.
They're old school Southern Southern Baptists, and they don't believe in it.
So they didn't get involved in the after stuff.
All they did was make Delta pay for you know the fishing equipment that was lost in the baggage and the medical bill. That's it.
Right,
that's all
right.
My dad wanted, you know. And all these people are hounding us for pain and suffering, and my dad's like, "Look, I don't
join the group, and we got this class action deal."
Yeah, and my dad's just like, "No, I just want my fly rod back because I want to go fishing." You know, and he's so old school, you know, one track mind. And the best is, you know, all these TV shows want Dr. Prater and Dr. King to come on and talk about saving this baby. Uh-huh. And Dr. Prater and Dr. King are just these humble guys, and they just know. They're just no. Well, of course, they call my dad. And he's like, I'll be on your show, you know. And so they get my dad on this one show, and we used to get phone calls all the time.
A Morning Dallas?
No, this is like a... You know, before they had Discovery and stuff, you had like – I don't know what the shows were because it's back when there wasn't a lot of channels. But there was a there was a show where they'd just do reenactments of
The plane
whatever.
Crash.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they want to do this reenactment and they call Dr. Prater and Dr. King and they're like, no, we don't want to do it. You know, and they call my dad and he's like, I'll do it. And so he goes to this show and they interview him for hours on end. He talks about everything. And the best part is the reenactment guy is like this chubby – fisherman, and they show this knucklehead like in the terminal with like a tackle box and a spinning reel,
like his hat with all the flies on it.
And then so they have this like reenactor who's supposed to be playing my dad, and my dad is like,
"What?
My dad is
hell." Yeah,
get this.
Yeah,
he's not mad that the guy's chubby. He's not mad that the guy's dressed like a knucklehead. Like the guy's wearing waders, like in the terminal.
Airport.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous, you know. And my dad's not mad about
Dr. Walker gets in line to go fishing. Little does he know, what is about to happen? He's just standing in line with his pole and his bucket of bait.
He's mad because they portrayed him as a bait fisherman.
Yeah.
Because my dad is a fly fisherman.
Yes, he's a fly fisherman.
This guy has like a spinning reel and like a tackle box. And my dad's like,
some minnows.
God dang spinning reel. He's like, that ain't even a fly fish. That ain't real fishing. That's baiting them.
Just enraged.
Yeah, he's just yelling at the TV because he doesn't have a fly rod in the video. You know, and it cracks me up to this day. But yeah, so they had him on and he did his little spiel. And he's been on a couple things like that.
Oh, man. Well, it's a huge story. It's one of those things that just it gets recounted every – it just comes up occasionally. I heard him on the radio here about a year ago recounting the story with the guys on the ticket. Well, fans, I hope that was an entertaining segment. How could it be anything less? Good grief. I remember hearing that story in the car driving to some gig. Just on the edge of my seat. On the edge of my seat in disbelief. Just a heck of a tale. A heck of a road story there of a different kind. Blake Walker sharing the last big DFW plane crash that his dad and his Aggie buddy survived. Torn fingers and broken ribs and Aggie rings and all. Good grief, man. What a heck of a tale. Well, man, speaking of a heck of a tale, we're going to talk to J.W. Marshall, my bass player of the Fool Band. Coming in here, gosh, he's going to warn everybody about Apple stock. Oh, man, the crash is coming, he says. They're done. I don't know. I'm bringing him on here to explain. So J.W. Marshall will be in here on the couch. Stay tuned next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios, my beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas. Come record. Take it all in. Breathe in the artistic air that this room gives off and let it free your music, man. We'll be here to help. Phil at philpritchett.com. Or book the full band, 817-733-5256, pardon me, to come play at your house, your party, your festival, whatever you have going on. Folks, for the third week in a row, we are so honored to have bass player of the full band, one half of the full band, J.W. Blue Marshall dropping by.
Yo!
Man, the last couple of weeks we have talked about the Phil Pritchett curse, live music curse to the club that I record in. How that club will either close down, stop having music, or simply burn to the ground. Last week we talked about, man, my waning interest in college basketball. My disgust and almost hatred for it now as it beats me down as I'm trying to watch golf. Well, Blue has another opinion here that he's been talking about, and something I have been really watching very, very carefully. Brace yourself, fans. Brace yourself. We're going to have a little business and stock talk here. Work on that little stock jingle so that fans of music can just tune out and say, I don't listen to his stock segments. Not really stock, but we're talking about a music related stock, of course, Apple. Now, of course, its founder and visionary Steve Jobs died early this year. What was that?
Late last year. Yeah.
So everyone says, man, what's the company going to do? They said, well, we got Tim Cook. We got all these guys that make the iPads. And we're all set to go. We got a product line lineup forever, man. It's just going to keep rolling. And sure as heck, man, the stock just big news a couple weeks ago. 500. Apple stock used 500. Reaches 500.
600.
It was 500 a week ago. 2 weeks ago. It was amazing. It got into 5. Now it's just 6. And J.W. Marshall sits here with his iPhone, sits here with his laptop. sits here bowing at the altar of Steve Jobs. Yet he looks up. I go, how's Apple doing, Blue? He just looks at me and says, sell now. What? What's going on?
They're done.
Well, they're done. Is it really that simple?
We might as well just record a live album in an Apple store.
In an Apple store and just,
and
watch,
then just watch it
close
it
down. Just jack into one of their iMacs in there,
that's right,
record into GarageBand, and then just stand out in the parking lot and watch the whole thing just crumble. Well, what makes you say that? I mean, I'm being coy here because I have a lot of some of the same thoughts. What strikes you about it? Was it simply Jobs dying or what?
Well, that's a big part of it. He was the visionary. He was Apple. And with him passing, his vision is still there in the short term. So I think there's still some short term growth. They've released the iPad 3, which will sell.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, is somebody really going to buy an iPad 4, an iPad 5? At some point, kind of like the iPod, you know, no one uses them anymore.
Kind of runs its course.
It ran its course. Yeah. Same thing with the iPhone. The droids are catching up, and other phones are coming up. With
apps, they're not just exclusive to Apple anymore.
They're more universal.
Mm-hmm.
With iTunes, now you have Spotify. Now you have, you know, these other music, you know, initiatives, these
delivery
programs coming
sites
out,
uh-huh,
giving it away,
yeah,
for free or for $9 a month versus 99 cents every time you want a song.
Right.
You know, and I think they're going to peak here this year, and then, you know, Apple TV, is that going to be the next thing? I mean,
yeah,
without Jobs to create that next just whole category of innovation.
Yeah.
Where's Apple going to go next without Jobs? So I think they run it out for the next rest of this year. There's going to be an iPhone 5. I think that'll be kind of the last great iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I think they're going to be fighting to keep customers. They just can't continue on this expansion either. I mean, they've grown
just
so much.
The $700 phone, people are just going to go, dude, what are these other ones cost?
Yeah, like $100
bucks. $100 bucks, you're like, dude, I can listen to music on this thing. And I know maybe it's not as neat, but they do. A lot of them have touch screens now. And yeah, you go, Apple started it. And like, well, it's just fine, but I'm not going to. They're probably a victim of their own success in that regard. I mean, you change the universe, but then the other people
figure it out,
change with it. And all of a sudden, there's a lot more cheaper options out there.
Right.
Well, the first thing I saw that started, of course, Steve Jobs passing away, you're like, well, man, didn't he kind of spearheaded the whole thing. I read some things in there. I guess it's in conjunction with their Apple TV thing, which no one really knows what that is, really. I read that, man, there's supposed to be big talks with Apple and international soccer. And I went, what? And I read this in the Wall Street Journal, just that Apple's traveling around the world trying to shore up programming rights with soccer teams to broadcast online and stuff, which on the surface you maybe say that's a great idea. On the other hand, if there's anything business teaches us, Blue, over and over again, is you got to invest in what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And man, you're just like, wait a minute, doesn't Apple make great products we all want to carry around in our pocket and in our homes that mm-hmm. just delight us with their use? I'm like, or I said, they're not a company that's adept or positioned to negotiate television deals with foreign soccer teams and broad. I'm like, is that their business?
Right.
That was, to me, just kind of a red flag, like. What? Why would they mess with this?
And with Jobs at the helm, you might be thinking, man, he's got to have some kind of genius plan behind this.
Maybe he was.
But without Jobs, you're thinking, where is this going?
Yeah. Maybe this was one guy in Apple like, man, Steve would never take my meeting on the soccer deal. But now, hey, we're going to bring Apple into the new millennium by broadcasting soccer on computers so that people can watch their. That just sounds like one of those deals that you're just like, no, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm just kind of – it was a moment where I was like, that just doesn't sound like – I mean, gosh, companies just do it all the time. I mean, they're trying to grow, and where they fail and is where they just – you go, man, they just got so far outside of – you know, Starbucks is an example of that. They make coffee. Great coffee, expensive coffee people are willing to pay a premium for. Then all of a sudden they're selling – books and CDs and music, and you go into the store, you can't even find the coffee counter. There's all this stuff there.
Right.
And then they brought back the old CEO, and he said, look, get all this crap out of here. Let's sell coffee. That's what we do.
That's why people come.
We sell coffee. we had a model that worked.
Right.
People paid a premium dollar for our coffee. There's a large margin. Let's do that. These stores are closing because no one's buying all these books and crap we're putting in here. And that was kind of and they kind of had a resurgence, or at least have leveled off their decline. So that was kind of, that's an example.
And kind of a similar story with Starbucks is they were growing at such a rapid rate that it was unsustainable.
Right.
So when they start, I mean, you can't have 12 Starbucks on four corners. I mean, you can only have so many Starbucks coffees.
Yeah, that's right.
And when you know, they oversaturated the market, they couldn't grow anymore. The stock price went down because there's no growth. There's no new money coming in. They're still selling a ton of coffee. They're still making a ton of money.
They're just
not making it as fast as they were before. So, you know, it's that tough transition where the company has to, you know, it kind of levels off from a high growth entity to this mammoth money producer, but not as much growth. I mean, growing from 1 million to 2 million is a heck of a lot easier than 1 billion to 2 billion.
I mean,
it's just, you know, simple economics. And Apple, I think, is now getting to push those limits where a heck of a lot of people have an iPhone or an iPad or some kind of Apple product. The market is now people that either have the products or they've decided not to get one for whatever reason.
Right.
There's not a whole lot of new market opportunity there. And now Apple's going to have that tricky conversion into, you know, keeping those customers happy and keeping that big market share and not losing it to some new $50 Android phone.
Right.
You know, let alone trying to get millions and millions of new customers getting, you know, Apple products.
Right.
So, and that's a tough, you know, pill to swallow because, you know, investors want to see 600, 700, 800. They want to see that thing just keep going up and up and up. And it's just unsustainable. You can't keep growing at
it's
that
kind
rate.
Of like,
unless you have another brand new product that makes a new
category,
which is what Apple's been so good at in the past. The iPod was great, but it ran its course.
It's
but
like
before it ran its course.
It's like found money.
The iPhone came out, and before it ran its course, the iPad came. They were riding these waves.
And they didn't compete with the previous product. It was, this is a new thing you need.
Right.
People would go in there and, buy an iPod.
On top of this.
Yeah, right. So now if you came out with a ring, the iRing, you put on your finger, and it projects up onto the wall all your stuff. You're like, well, now I'm not going to buy a laptop or an iPad. You're kind of like, well, it's making your previous products obsolete. You've got to find that. And that's where a guy like Jobs is. I mean, it's like the Beatles without John Lennon. You're like, I don't know. It's over. You're not going to replace him. You're not going to replace Elvis. Or I mean, and Steve Jobs in his universe was – every bit a guy like that. I mean, just a visionary. When you say, and when he's gone, you're just like, but I have been surprised at the run-up of the stock, man, and just taking off like it has.
This is the last hurrah. They got the iPad 3.
Uh-huh.
There'll be an iPhone 5. But, man, I think you got to sell this year. You got to sell sooner than later.
Yeah.
Lose out on a little bit of that, you know, growth. But, man, you're going to save yourself. Because you're staying too long.
They're going to start having TV, Apple TV, going into a heavy competitive landscape.
Worked.
Trying to broadcast, trying to get American people interested in soccer. That has never worked.
Nope. There's no money in soccer.
No.
If you're listening from Apple right now.
Good grief.
And even the money in like England,
You
know, where they play soccer, I think only four of those teams actually make money.
Yeah.
Those people
just
love soccer so much that they pay to have a soccer team. They pay to, you know, they're just fans.
Right.
Taxes
are high. It pays for the stadium. It just keeps it going.
Yeah.
It's just bread and circuses, Blue. Bread and circuses.
That's right.
Well, man, that's quite a hot opinion you got there, Blue, on Apple stock, man. Good grief. Well, where do you think a lot of the other technology stuff is headed? Do you see anything else out there that catches your eye or any alarm bells going off in the worlds of, I don't know, any sort of tech? You see anything with Google or
Buy Facebook stock.
Yeah.
Sell it at the end of the year. Same thing.
When's that coming out?
They're doing the IPO this year.
Are they?
Soon.
So, I still have never understood.
Buy it. Let it run up for, you know, 12 months and then get out.
My father-in-law, surly father-in-law, once looked at me and just said about an old, back in the first tech boom, you know, some stock just trading $100 a share. And it's a site, you go there, anybody can go and... He's like, if anyone can do it and it's free, then it's not worth anything. What's it worth? And I was like, well, which is kind of the story of it. You know, you're like, advertising? I mean, that works for maybe the biggest guys, the Googles, you're like, but after a certain point, it's hard to get people to open their pocketbook on that in that regard. Well, yep. It'll be interesting to watch. Blue says, sell your Apple. What else you got?
And I think I'm going to go with Lefsetz on the...
Bob Lefsetz, the blog we read, music.
New apps, new things. Don't make them have to be tied to Facebook. Let them either be standalone or connected. But a lot of these new apps, the trend is that it only works with your Facebook account.
Right.
And I know a lot of people just don't want people seeing what they're listening to on Spotify. They don't want, rather it, have that control. So
the other day
developing apps out there.
I shot you a note yesterday.
Yep.
Do you know that you're on there like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? You freely share that information?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Inquiring fans want to know what Blue's listening to on Spotify.
Blue listened to Bob
Facebook.
Schneider.
All day.
Oh, good grief.
Just working the day away with Bob.
I just sent him a message. Just quit listening to Bob and go back to work. Well, we're all more connected than ever, but in some ways we're all more far apart than ever before. True?
Truer words never spoken.
Yeah, man. Where are you on all this technology stuff? You staying connected? You getting off of Facebook? Someone said, my old guitar player, who was a kind of a hermit kind of guy, mm-hmm. just said, in the future, man, the one thing no one will have that will be the most prized thing will be true privacy, just not being able to be reached.
Yep.
No digital map or footprint to yourself. You just exist. And
Off the grid. Off the grid.
You think you can get there? Are you trying to get there or not?
You know, I try to get there every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
It's part of my job. You know, I have to be connected.
Yeah.
Wired in.
Right.
But, I limit my privacy. I get on Facebook maybe once or twice a week. I'm mm-hmm. not on there every day seeing what my high school buddy's kid's doing.
Eating for
you
breakfast,
know, I'm not. Yeah, you know. But if someone sends me a message, I respond. And if I'm on there, I'll take a glance at it and, see what events are going on. But as far as what my friends are doing in their personal lives, I, don't really care that much.
Yeah,
if I'm
not
talking to you on the phone or texting you, remember when before text,
mm-hmm.
just.
Yeah.
What did people do? I mean, it's so easy to text, but eventually, our kids will look at, us and say, well, you texted when you were, how
just
old?
Typing at them.
You couldn't just.
Will they discover talking on the phone? Like, will that be a new thing, or they don't want to do that either?
It'll be vintage.
What do you do? Yeah.
It's kind of like we make fun of the Zach Morris, kind of big 80s telephone.
Phone with the antenna.
People would make fun of our iPhones in 10 years.
Yeah.
Just, what? You punched a screen with buttons and apps. And
well, it's kind of like, it's like if someone said...
That's so confusing. It's easy.
We grew up with rabbit ears on our TV and three channels on a black and white, in color, and just, So we complain, ha, ha, ha. Our kids are going to complain about having a 52-inch HD screen with 1,000 channels.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the future going to be? They're going to be, all we had in my house was a home theater with a digital Dolby surround sound and, an HD.
They'll talk about their wires for everything back then. And now everything's
wires,
wireless.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You had that big amplifier with all the wires in the back.
Back
That's
in the day,
just,
you held a controller to move the man around on the screen to
happening.
Shoot people. I mean,
it's already happening.
Now you just walk into a room. Flip a switch and you're on Normandy Beach.
Yeah,
you're feeling a bullet go into your
full,
leg.
It'll be a 3D. Room where it's just covered.
You just turn to the right and there's just a Sports Illustrated model and
this is virtual reality.
Yeah,
like you've never seen
people shooting each other and just total virtual reality. It's like, man, you just live it.
Those days are upon us.
Those are upon us.
Some would say already here.
I know it, man. Well, that is all the time we have today, folks. Thanks to Blue J.W. Marshall for dropping by. Sharing some stock tips. Sell that Apple stock, he says.
That's right.
It's over 600, but don't be fooled. Jobs is gone, and he's not coming back. Soccer will not save Apple, nor will TV. Wow.
Unless Apple comes out with the virtual 3D room I can buy that I can walk into and just shoot on Normandy Beach.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's what they're working on.
Who
knows?
You never know.
Well, that's all the time we have today. Give us a call, folks. 817-733-5256 or shoot me an email, phil@philpritchard.com. We'll come play a gig for you anywhere you may be or come record here at the studio. That's all the time we have for this week on the P2 Podcast, folks. We look forward to seeing you next week. Until then, take care. Much tougher.
Children, and I'll grab my gun.
We'll hit the trail out without leaving one. And if I lose you in the dark out there, don't shut up.